Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Hannah, would you please come and read our scripture passage for us today?
Matthew 1:18-25 says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until he gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus."
Awesome. Thank you so much, Hannah, for reading our passage for us today. I read this passage, or Hannah reads this passage, and I look at it again, and I just want to say that I really like Joseph. And I'm excited for him. Right? So here's a guy who has to be thrilled with the direction of his life. You know, he's met his dream girl, and they're engaged, and they're probably spending every weekend planning all the details of a wonderful wedding ceremony. Let's be honest, Mary's probably doing all the work, and Joseph is just in charge of the tuxes, right? Am I right, guys? Yes? But I'm excited for Joseph. And I have to say that I really like Joseph, and I think part of that is because I respect him. He's described as a righteous man, which reminds me of Zechariah and Elizabeth a couple weeks ago. So here's Joseph. He's a man of high quality and steadfast integrity and great character. He's a guy who lives the right way and does the right things, and he will do everything the way that it's meant to be done. He's righteous. And he's not only righteous, but we see here in the passage as well, he's a man who has compassion. He has this compassionate heart about him. When the news breaks that Mary is pregnant, which I have to imagine broke his heart, Joseph seeks a way that will help and save Mary. Because Old Testament law says, bring her out of town and stone her to death. But there's a more humane option available. And Joseph will do that way. He will have that private, quiet ceremony where they will end the relationship, a divorce of sorts. And it's a way to save face. It's a way to save disgrace. It's a way to save Mary's life. And so I really like Joseph. And I think one of the reasons I like Joseph is I do feel bad for him. I mean, my heart breaks for him. Here's a guy who I'm glad is invited to the Christmas party. I'm glad he's here, but my heart aches for him because, you know, without hesitation, we think about Joseph and we think about him being an integral and essential part of the Christmas story. There's Mary and there's Joseph and the baby. But when we stop and think about it, was Joseph's presence actually that necessary? I mean, it's not his DNA that was needed, right? God made this all possible and could make this all possible without him. And so Joseph kind of gets pulled into this story, pulled into this. And I think if Joseph had not been pulled into all this, think of all the heartache that this could have saved him. And so my heart grieves for Joseph. But I think what I like Joseph, why I like Joseph the most is this. Is because I can relate to him. Not in everything. Let me assure you, there's no fiance who's pregnant, right, with the Son of God in my life right now, okay? Just going to be very clear about that. So I don't relate to him completely. I want to think that I'm a nice guy, a righteous guy, a compassionate guy, but I will say I am a sinner, and my compassion can vary depending on how tired I am that day. But what I relate to most with Joseph is this. When things go off the tracks, Joseph is a man who comes up with a plan to put things back together. He's a quick thinker who immediately assesses the damage that is being done and instantly concocts a plan to attempt to forge a path forward, to salvage the most blown apart situations. And I'll just name, somehow while God has uniquely wired me, that's what happens in my brain. I see things starting to fall apart and instantly it's like Matrix style, Minority Report style, everything. It just happens in my brain. I don't know how, but it does. And I try to like pull all the pieces back together. Maybe some of you have that gift as well. But I can relate to Joseph. Like Joseph here, he pulls it all back together. He's a righteous man. He's got a compassionate heart. He does not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He wants to save her life. And so despite the promise of this wonderful future that he was looking forward to, despite that being blown apart, his dreams being dashed, his heart is hurting. It says that Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly. And it says he considers all this. So for all these reasons, I like Joseph. You too? And perhaps all of this is why a person whose participation isn't completely needed, a person who's really the screen time that Joseph gets in the Christmas story is pretty limited, just to a couple of verses. But perhaps all of this is why Joseph captures our hearts. Why we find ourselves moved in our heart as we consider his story, how we feel the inner turmoil that he's feeling, that it must have been upon his soul. There's some sort of connection that we have here with Joseph. Even as all of his plans of what his life would be like are seemingly over, we like Joseph. We connect with him. So let me ask us, what do we do when that happens to us? Like what happened to Joseph here. What do we do when this happens to us? When we have plans and they're great plans. They're exciting plans. They're even good and godly plans. And yet they vanish. Maybe in an instant, or they slowly erode over time, whatever it was, whatever the case might be, they are no more. What do we do? Are we like Joseph, with a righteous soul, with a compassionate heart, so coming out of a good place? Do we quickly course correct? Do we attempt to forge a new path forward? Do we try to provide a new way that provides the best way forward, given all this new information that has been given to us, which is often enormously complicated or difficult to even take on, a new set of circumstances before us? Do we try to find the right path forward immediately? Pushing through and pushing down any emotion that we might be feeling. And we consider, how can we make this work? In other words, and in doing so, do we trust our own knowledge? And do we trust our own power? And do we trust our own insight? Do we trust our own ingenuity? Do we trust ourselves? Or do we trust God? You know, for Joseph, it took a word of God via an angel for him to be able to bring about the gift of trust. We see here in the passage that an angel appears to Joseph in a dream, and the angel shares words with Joseph that we have heard before in the Christmas season, in our Christmas narratives, right? We hear the angel say, "Don't be afraid." But this time it's not the same kind of words that are spoken before. These words hit a little differently. Because this isn't too startled and gripped with fear, Zechariah. This is not Mary who's greatly troubled at what kind of greeting this could be. These are not words delivered by an angel to calm down a rapidly beating heart. The angel's words to Joseph are to not be afraid to do something. Do you see that? Do you feel the difference? And not just one thing, but two things. First one is this: do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. So quick-thinking Joseph, he comes up with this new plan to prevent disgrace. He's going to divorce Mary quietly. And the angel tells Joseph, do not be afraid to scrap that new plan and stick to the original script. And the angel gives Joseph a little bit more insider information. The child that she is bearing is not due to infidelity. It is due because the power of the Holy Spirit, the child that's been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the angel, the first instruction says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing the angel says to Joseph. After Mary gives birth to a son, Joseph is not to be afraid to give him the name Jesus. Now that might not seem so remarkable at first, but don't miss what's happening here. A couple weeks ago, if you're here with us, we named that was Zechariah as well. It's the father's responsibility in those times to name the child. A name is going to be given to the child, to the son that Mary is going to bear. And who names the child? God does first, right? God is the one who declares through the angel that the child's name is going to be Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus' name literally means the Lord saves. But who gives the child the name in our passage? It's Joseph. The angel directs Joseph, you are to give him the name. This is an amazing, don't miss this, this is an amazing reference of a shared fatherhood between God and Joseph, a heavenly father and an earthly dad. And what it solidifies here is that for Joseph, that he is the father, he's this adoptive father of this child, and when he fulfills this duty, it will confirm this. And so the angel says to Joseph in that dream, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do not be afraid to give the child the name Jesus. Maybe we can say it this way. Do not be afraid to trust what God is doing. Do not be afraid to bring the gift of trust. And after all that, we find what are perhaps the two of the smallest and yet most important words of this entire passage. Jump down to verse 24 if you have your Bibles open yet. Joseph, he wakes up from this dream. And the angel's words are echoing in his ears. They're rattling around in his mind. They're impressing upon his heart. And it says this in verse 24, he did. Do you see it there? He did what the angel commanded him. He did take Mary home as his wife. Later we see he did give him the name Jesus. Joseph did. Joseph brought this gift of trust, and in doing so, Joseph unknowingly was partnering with God in God's great redemptive plan of eternal ramifications. And Joseph had no way of knowing, fully understanding all what this meant in that moment. What Joseph did is he brought trust. He brought the gift of trust, even that he had no idea. His plans had been blown apart and he had no idea what God was fully up to in that moment. He brought the gift of trust. Isn't that true about trust? Isn't that often the case with trust? Or isn't that even most of the time? Isn't that always true with trust? Here God is inviting Joseph into a plan that is so much more than Joseph could even possibly imagine on his own. This coming of the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world. God at work here for His glory, for our good. And Westview, how true it is that God's plans are so much greater than our own. They're a part of a bigger purpose that we can't see in the moment. That God is His plans have eternal ramifications that we can't fully comprehend. God's redemptive story, and He invites us into it. And whether we're bit participants or whether we have a leading role, the gift that we bring into God's plans is that gift of trust. To trust what God is up to trust what He is calling us to trust that whatever it might be, whatever it might ask of us, we bring the gift of trust because God is always at work in ways that are beyond our wildest imaginations, in ways that are far outside of our own plans. God is at work for the redemption of this world that He so loves. He's at work for His glory and for our good. And so friends, as we seek to prepare our hearts in this Advent season for the coming of the great gift of Jesus, can we also bring the gift of trust? Even when our own plans don't go the way that we would expect or that we would hope for, even when plans that are laid out, good plans, godly plans, blow up in our face and it hurts. Even when our own plans do not happen as we would have them happen. And we know that, do we not? We know what that looks like. You know, when we don't make the team or when there's the breakup in the relationship or when that pregnancy test comes back negative or when we get caught up in corporate downsizing or when injury occurs or when the audition does not yield the selection or when expectations of what life was going to be like by now have gone unmet or when the diagnosis comes, the friendships fade or when growing old does not feel so great or you fill in the blank. Pick your example. We are so well aware of those circumstances in our lives when our plans, when our hopes, when our dreams, they change and they change in an instant or they change over time and it's not what we had planned and it absolutely hurts. Even then, will we bring the gift of trust like Joseph did? Trusting that those things are not the way that we would have imagined or we had laid out, but trusting that God is at work and He is carrying out His good plans, His pleasing plans, His perfect plans that are so far beyond what we can see in the here and now, so far beyond what even makes sense to us, but trusting that God is at work for His glory and for our good. I want to share with you as we close this morning, I had something strange happen to me this week. Earlier this week, I was doing some final prep for this message, and as I was reading through some things, and this was before I was kind of writing the first draft and of this message here, and all of a sudden that there was a refrain, some lyrics came to my mind of a song, and the strange, that happens to me often, but here's the strange part, is that I have no idea when I heard this song. Not a clue. But all of a sudden, these refrains started coming to my mind. For His glory and for our good. For His glory and for our good. And so I did the only thing I knew what to do in that moment. I Googled it. And and sure enough, here comes a song. A song called His Glory and My Good by City of Light. I listened to that song. I could not place it. I don't know when I've heard that song before. But I listened to it and I read its lyrics, and I would encourage you to do the same at some point. It's a great song. But I appreciated most the second verse. And I'm going to close this time of thinking about the gift of trust by sharing with you here verse 2. It says this: "There is hope in every trial, for I can trust the Lord. He will turn my heart towards Him and help me bear the thorn. So in faith, I follow Jesus on the road not understood, for I know that He is working for His glory and my good." God is working for His glory and for our good, and so we bring the gift of trust. Amen. Let's pray together. God of glory and God of grace, we thank You so much for Your presence in our lives, that You are indeed God, Emmanuel, God who is with us. And we embrace this all the more in those moments when our best laid plans do crumble at times, when it's not easy. Like it certainly could not have been easy for Joseph. When it's hard, when it hurts. And we know that sometimes, God, You invite us to simply trust that You are with us and You are walking through us, with us through those moments. And sometimes, God, we know that in those moments You tell us not to be afraid. To actively, You call us to do something, to be a part of Your plans, and You're inviting us to participate in something that does not make sense to us, but is a part of a greater good, a greater plan that we cannot see. And so help us, God, to have courage to trust You in those moments. In all of this, as You continue and always work for Your glory and for Your good, in this, we want to continue to seek and to bring the gift of trust. God, by Your power, give us courage and boldness and strength to do so. May it be so. And God, into the rest of this season, we know that it is indeed a wonderful season, as well as a season of busyness, of running around, of stress, of family dynamics, of expenses, and so much more. And so, God, we would pray like snow that has freshly fallen on the ground, may Your grace fall and rest upon us. That in this season we might behold with great expectation the wonder of the gift of Your Son, our Savior, in this Advent season. May His coming be our hope. In His birth might we find great joy. And may His promised presence bring us everlasting peace. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.